The Old Testament reading for this, the first Sunday in Lent, is from Deuteronomy chapter 26. When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance and taken possession of it and live in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground which you harvest from your land that the Lord your God is giving you. And you shall put it in a basket and shall go to the place that the Lord your God will choose to make his name to dwell there. And you shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Then the priest will take the basket from your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. And you shall make response before the Lord your God. A wonder in Ermin was my father, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there, few in number, and there he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians treated us harshly and humiliated us and laid on us hard labor. Then we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. And the Lord brought us up out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arms, with great deeds of terror, with signs and wonders. And he brought us to the place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And behold, now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground, which you, O Lord, has given me. And you shall sit down before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. And you shall rejoice in all the good that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house, you and the Levite and the sojourner who is among you. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle comes from Romans chapter 10. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For Scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 4th chapter. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. The devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, to you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will be all yours. And Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him, it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the gospel of the Lord. The word of God that engages us for our meditation today is the gospel reading that was just read, specifically the third temptation. Throw yourself down from this temple, for it is written. In the name of Jesus Christ, dear friends, our first mother, Eve, was sitting in the garden when a serpent came to her. He said to her, "Can you eat of any of the trees in the garden?" And Satan and Eve said, "Yes, we may eat of the trees, but we cannot eat of the tree that is in the middle of the garden. On the day that we eat of it, we will surely die." Satan looked at Eve, and without any hesitation, said to her, "You shall not surely die. Eat of the fruit. There will be no consequence." Jesus had been baptized by John in the Jordan. As he comes up out of the water, he is filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit brings him into the wilderness. As he is out in that wilderness, he is tempted by Satan. "Turn those stones into bread. Bow down and worship me, and everything will be yours." Finally, Satan brings him up on the pinnacle of the temple, and he says, "Cast yourself down from here. For it is written, God will command his angels concerning you, and you will not strike your foot against a stone. Go ahead and jump. There will be no consequence." And so Eve takes of the fruit, and she eats it. And there is consequence. Yet Jesus stands upon that temple and will not jump, for he knows that there are consequences. And we confess, even in our small catechism, the consequences of sin. The close of the commandments from the small catechism. What does God say about all these commandments? He says, "I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments." What does this mean? God threatens to punish all who break these commandments. Therefore, we should fear his wrath and not do anything against them. We should continually remind ourselves that when it comes to sin, there are consequences. Now, we know in regular everyday life that there are consequences for actions. If we made bread and didn't put the yeast in, the bread will not rise. If we don't do our homework or don't study for the test, we can't expect to get good grades. If we spend our whole life smoking, we may end up with cancer. We understand that there are natural consequences to our actions. We also understand that there are consequences imposed by others. If we get in trouble at school, we're going to come home and get in trouble with Dad. If we are caught stealing, the police are going to arrest us. If we spend our life gossiping and telling lies, others simply won't believe us, even if we are telling the truth. And throughout the Bible, we find consequences of sin. As David looks down and sees Bathsheba bathing on her roof, and then commits adultery with her and kills her husband, even after Nathan comes to him and David repents of his sin, God still says, "Because you have done this, your son will die." There was a consequence. And as Saul stands at Gilgal, and Samuel tells him he'll be there in 7 days to give the sacrifice so they can go into battle, Saul becomes impatient and gives the sacrifice himself. When Samuel comes, he says, "Now God will cut you off forever, and he will put someone else on the throne." There was a consequence for him taking what God had given to someone else. And when Israel started grumbling in the wilderness, saying, "What is this manna? And we're sick of eating it. Can we not have some real food? We'd rather go back to Egypt and be there at this point." God sends quail. And while the quail is still between their teeth, he sends a plague upon them. They had spoken out against God by speaking out against the one whom he had sent, and so there were consequences. But even in every one of those examples, they are only temporary consequences. They happen, and then they pass. But what about those eternal consequences that we think very little about? Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10, "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." There are eternal consequences. And in Luke chapter 13, Jesus says, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered by having their blood mingled with the pagan sacrifices? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Or those 18, on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them. "Do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." There are eternal consequences. And is St. Paul lying to us when he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." Paul reminds the church at Corinth, there are eternal consequences. And as Jesus stands there, up upon the pinnacle of the temple, he looks down, and he does not answer Satan by saying, "Well, then I must jump, since there aren't any consequences." He instead answers him by saying, "You should serve the Lord your God and worship him only." God has my life in his hands. God holds me, and I am not to take what is God's for myself. He knows that to separate himself from his Father would have eternal consequences. And as those thoughts come into your mind, those sinful thoughts that you know ought not be there, see how a crown of thorns is pressed into your Savior's head. And as your hands do things that you know they ought not do, see your Savior's hands be stretched out and nails be driven through them. And as your feet take you to places that you know you ought not be, see his feet as they are affixed to that accursed tree. Your Savior knows all too well that there are consequences for sin. And on that tree, He takes those consequences upon Himself, even crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He was forsaken that you could be received. There are consequences for your sin, but Christ takes those consequences upon Himself that you can be free. And when Satan comes to you whispering those temptations in your ear, saying to you, "There will be nothing that will happen if you do this. There are no consequences for your sin." Look again to that cross and say, "No, Satan, I have one who has bore the consequence of all sin, and I see in my mind's eye exactly what he has borne. There are consequences, but he has taken them. And if you wish to try and take me, then you will have to try to take him again, and you cannot." We see Jesus standing on the pinnacle of the temple. We see Eve staring at that forbidden fruit. We must ask ourselves, which one will we follow? Are there consequences for sin? In Jesus' name, amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.